This episode of the Gospel Coalition podcast is sponsored by Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, grounded in the truthfulness of Holy Scripture, entrusted with the gospel. Get more information at teds.edu. This is the Gospel Coalition podcast, where we seek to renew the contemporary church in the ancient gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Colin Hansen. Today's podcast is a roundtable discussion with John Piper, Randy Alcorn, and Scott Swain on the subject of heaven. They discuss popular misconceptions about heaven, such as the belief that there won't be time and space in the life to come.
Heaven. You wrote a book, Randy. Let's talk about, for a few minutes, misconceptions, maybe, of heaven. What are views that are out there that are not helpful? And then if we can make our way to some better views than some people have, maybe what difference it makes. So what have you seen, or what have you heard, or what's been in your own experience as far as misconceptions of what heaven is?
Yeah, a lot of preaching and teaching that I hear has rightly recovered an emphasis on the bodily, earthly nature of the new heavens and the new earth. We're not going to fly away like ghosts in the end. We're going to have resurrected bodies and so forth. What I hear less these days is what I think is the biblical emphasis, that the best part about the future is that God will dwell in our midst, that we'll see his face, that the Lord is our inheritance, and that will be the best part of the future, that we will see his face.
So would you not sing, "I'll fly away"? would you sing that song? You feel okay about that song?
Well, I think there's a lot of songs that have a right spirit about them, and then the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, which is not a biblical concept. There's lots of indications of time in heaven. That's one of the many things I have people say, well, there's not going to be any time or space in heaven. Well, what do you base that on? And then, of course, I think the mistaking of the present heaven for the eternal heaven, where God comes down and dwells on his people with his people in the new earth, the pre-resurrection heaven and the post-resurrection heaven, I think there's still, in my circles, there's a ton of confusion about that. There's still people who really do. They believe in the bodily resurrection. They'd go to the wall and die for that doctrine before they deny it, but they don't really believe it, because every time they think about heaven, they just think about the floating angelic realm, and they don't think in terms of bodily life, worshiping and serving God on a new earth.
So I didn't expect you to say what you said, that there's a lot of healthy, good recovery of the earthy, bodily nature of the final state. But backing up from there, if you drop dead this afternoon, you're not going to be raised tomorrow, probably. I mean, I don't want to predict when Jesus is coming. But so does he go to heaven tomorrow?
Yes, I think the present heaven, because heaven, I think, is defined by the very presence of God, where the throne of God is, the place from which he governs the universe, even though he's everywhere present, he specially dwells there. So yes, that's heaven, but then heaven will be relocated on the new earth, and Revelation 21:3, three times says God will come down and dwell with his people. That word, with his people. He will come down and be with them and be there with them and be their God. So, yeah.
So, we don't have bodies in heaven for a while.
That's right. And it's better to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
Yes. Because Second Corinthians.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, there is an intermediate state without bodies,
right,
but our ultimate hope is to have our souls reunited with our bodies.
So if you take 2 Corinthians 5 and put it together with, what, Philippians 1? About, I'd rather depart and be with Christ. So Paul's preference level is, number one, Jesus come tomorrow. Right. So I will never die, right? Mm-hmm. And I would be in heaven with Jesus with my new body. But preference level 2 was not this, right?
Right.
Heaven's better than this, even without a body.
Right. And Spurgeon had a great series of sermons on the fact that the saints of God in heaven are completely fulfilled and satisfied, and yet they are longing for the resurrection to come. And I think that's a great way to look at it. No more sin, no more death once we're there. But the ultimate no more sin, death, suffering, God wiping away the tears from every eye is for the new earth in Revelation 21.
I'm not sure all that was in Paul's mind when he said that he would rather depart and be with Christ. So the with Christ gets the note. But frankly, the biggest burden I carry right now that I would like to be done with is John Piper's sinning, mm-hmm. right? It's not my eyes are going bad, I'm losing my hair, I had prostate cancer, I'm going to die. That bothers me. I would rather not die, but I'm so sick of sinning. I mean, I ought to be done with it, right? 69 years, it'll be over. So the thought of one day like that, in the twinkling of an eye, never having a proud thought, never having a lustful thought again, never feeling the least bit envious or resentful. Yeah. I mean, it's just almost beyond glory.
I love the way Paul Helm puts it, I think, in Last Things, where he says that we will no longer sin, we will no longer want to sin, and we will no longer want to sin.
Yeah.
The liberation of that, to gaze upon his face, to be in his presence, and not be struck down, but to fully have the righteousness of Christ, so that it is truly the beatific vision, the happy-making sight to see him.
Yeah. Evidently, that is the connection between, I mean, when we see him, we will be like him. What's that, 1 John 3? So evidently, it is the, like you struck the note at the beginning, with us, mm-hmm. and I'm striking the note, no more sin, and the connection is those two.
His return. Yeah, when we see him as he is, we'll be like him.
One more question, if we have time. If a person gets it right, I mean, we're trying to just say some right things from the Bible here to clarify how to think about it. What difference will it make? I mean, are there biblical indications or from your own experience?
Well, it's the passage you just mentioned. He who has this hope in himself purifies himself as he is pure. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The hope of being with God and seeing his face, it informs the way we live right now. It becomes the purifying passion, that love that expels false loves, mm-hmm. and drives us to love God, to love neighbor as well.
Yeah. So it's hard to really hope for something and then live like what you're not hoping for.
I mean,
it's just an emotional contradiction.
Well, and 2 Peter 3, in terms of we're looking forward to a new heavens and new earth in which righteousness dwells, therefore, what sort of people ought we to be in terms of life and godliness? Yeah. It should make a profound difference how we live today in light of the fact that there will be eternal reward, there will be the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll have an entire future with him on the new earth in which how we have lived will have mattered.
Yeah. You just used the word reward. Maybe let's go there and end it. Because I've read what you've said about reward. I like it, and I want to underline it because Jesus said, I mean, both of you have struck the note of purity. We're going to see him. It'll make a difference in pursuing a life like him now. But the note that is also struck is, blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all kinds of ugly things against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad for, finish it. Great
is your reward
in heaven.
Yeah.
Great is your reward in heaven.
Right.
Which means practically we're coming into a time of history where who knows what kinds of pressures and persecutions, and I just think all over the world where Christianity has been embattled, heaven has been sweeter, and God totally intends it to be that way. So if you get attacked or in any way, whether it's physical or emotional or relational or persecution, and nothing, there's no future for you here anymore, you can rejoice. I mean, this is off the charts crazy, isn't it, for Jesus to say, they're slandering you, they're persecuting you, and then he says, rejoice. And in Luke, it says, leap, he leaped like a lamb from the stall.
Exactly.
Well, even when, in suffering, we sow in hope.
Yes. So if I've heard us right, then the two impacts that we've highlighted are, if you hope to see him, you're going to hope to be like him now. And if you hope to see him, no horror now is going to rob you of your joy.
Amen.
You've been listening to the Gospel Coalition podcast. For more gospel-centered resources, visit thegospelcoalition.org.